Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. I'm going to play a song in light of Bob's teaching. Wasn't that a great teaching? Man, those things happen all the time if you just pay attention and believe. Where's Taylor Saya? Swifty Saya. Last night her back was killing her. Me and Diane were leaving. I put my hand on her behind her coat and put it on her back. Didn't say a word. Left. And as soon as I left, you said what?
Hey, my back's better.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, what do you want? That's word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings all in one shot if you want to break it down. I want to recognize one person here who is probably responsible for thousands of believers' lives, and that's Reverend Howie Raymond. Stand up, brother. Stand up. It's the truth. It's the truth. Him and his family, oh man, they did, well, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for I would be nowhere. And many others, many, many others who witnessed to many, many others who witnessed to many, many others. That man is something else. Completely, 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 completely in Him. I am completely, completely, complete in Him. Well, I am completely, 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 complete. I am completely, completely, complete in Him. Well, you are completely, 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 complete. You are completely, completely, completely in Him. Well, we are completely, 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 complete. We are completely, completely, complete in Him.
The next person is going to share God's word. I also have great respect for a man who lives the heart of Lord. Here am I. He's been in God's word since he's a teenager. And he's faithfully stood since then. He recently moved to Atlanta, Georgia, to help with the move of the word down there. And I love this man and his family. And that's Mr. Michael Gilmore. Please stand and welcome Michael.
Please. Let's go to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. Very thankful for the privilege of sharing God's word. I was thinking that, you know, if we keep moving this thing, everyone in here is going to have to be doing this. You know, we should be leaders of leaders of leaders as we help move God's word around the world. So that's a pretty neat thought. Whew, what a day we've had. You know, if we live half of this, man, we're gonna be doing all right. It's pretty good stuff. If everything were perfect in the world, there'd be no need for the manifestations. You know, and when that which is perfect has come, that which in part is gonna be done away. So we wouldn't have needed the manifestations, but everything is not perfect in the world. And we do need the manifestations today. I'd like you to start in Isaiah 58, and let's look at verse 11, please. Isaiah 58, verse 11. It says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Now, doesn't that sound nice? Guide thee continually. That means God will always lead you. God will always lead you. I like this, satisfied thy soul in drought. It's to be fulfilled. It's to have your desire satisfied, to be completely fulfilled, have your desire completely satisfied, satisfied to the full, so you are content and don't want any more. Wow, that'd be a nice place to be. And then it says, and make fat thy bones. That's not really quite what it says there, what it means. One translation says to give you renewed strength, to give you renewed strength. This word fat is kind of funny. It's translated by one of the lexicons as to be manful, to be manful. In other words, you're ready, you're fully equipped. You're ready for war, you're ready for whatever it is that has to happen. You're completely arrayed. So let's read this verse again. The Lord shall guide thee continually. Actually, I want to read it to you in another translation that I think is tremendous. The Lord will continually lead you. He will feed you even in parched regions. He will give you renewed strength, and you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring that continually produces water. Who doesn't want that? Never a need, not to ever want any more, to be completely blessed. Well, it's a beautiful verse. It's worthy of being framed. Give it as a Christmas gift. You know, be nice in someone's hallway. But I'd like to read this verse in context, all right? Let's go back to verse 1 of chapter 58. Hear God speaking to Isaiah the prophet. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Verse 2. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. See, God says these people are messed up. He's telling Isaiah here, these people are messed up. They seek him as if they were a righteous nation. They seek him as if they were people who were walking for him, who really did want to know his will and really did want to follow him. They looked the part. They looked the part. But God saw right through it. Look at verse 3. Why have we fasted? Wherefore means why. Why have we fasted, say they, and you don't see? You know, we've been fasting here, and you don't notice, God? Have we afflicted our soul? You know, they humbled themselves. And thou takest no knowledge? You didn't even notice what we're doing over here? God says, dudes, behold. He says, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You satisfy your own desires. He says, you're fasting, yeah. You're making it look good, but you're satisfying your own desires and all your labors, which means you oppress your workers. See, the fast was something that culture did, which was supposed to show their humbleness, their humility to God, their desire for God to help them. God says here, you took your culture that was supposed to be good and you made it into this show of humility, but and they're just saying to him, how come you don't notice us? Look at verse 5. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Here's a version that's not very good on a lot of verses, but I think it captures the meaning of this verse pretty well. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. That's what God's telling them. You know, he sees right through it. Some people are really good at putting on a show. They look the part, they do everything right. But where's their heart? God's saying here. Verse 58, he said, verse 5, he says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Is this the fast that I want? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this fast an acceptable day to the Lord? How does that bring glory to God? How does that bring glory to God? You make yourselves look all emaciated. You make yourselves look all humble. You have your head down like a bulrush. Is that what I think is an acceptable day to me, God says? You know, they're saying, I've worked so hard for the Lord. How come he's not noticing? I witness every Monday night for an hour and a half. My favorite team isn't playing. Say, I give 11.5% of my income, and it gets automatically debited from my account. Doesn't he see my heart? You know, that's what they're saying. God says, I see right through you. You're fooling yourselves. This isn't what I wanted for my people, God says. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Now we're going to find out. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Dean talked about that yoke, remember? That yoke, you know, that was that thing that was supposed to have the animals that work together. It also was used here and many times figuratively of laws that people put on other people. And he says, break the yoke, you know, free yourselves. Isn't that the fast that I've chosen? For you to look like a bulrush with your head down and to afflict your souls? That doesn't do me any good. God says, this is the fast that I've chosen. It needs the world needs the love of God manifested to it. The world is oppressed of the devil. We're going to read that verse in a minute. Well, actually, why don't we just read it right now? John chapter 12. John chapter 12. God says, look, you know, that show of what you're doing, that humility and all of that, it's not doing me any good. I don't know who you're fasting for. Well, he says you're kind of just doing it for yourself, for your own pleasure. Look at this in John chapter 12, Jesus Christ here, verse 47. John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Jesus Christ is saying this, all right? I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come here to judge. Now, honestly, guys, if anyone could, don't you think it would have been Jesus? You know, he lived the perfect life. He could be there like, yeah, Joe, no. You know, sorry, John, no. He could easily be doing that. But he said, I didn't come to judge the world. What did he say he came to do? To save it. To make the world whole. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He didn't have time to judge the world. And he realized it wasn't his job. There's one judge, by the way, it's not us either, okay? All right. he came. Our privilege also is to just help the world, to help save the world, not to judge them. We have enough judges around, don't you think? There's enough people looking at us saying, what in the world are you doing? We don't need more people like that. We need more people that are going to break the yoke. We need more people that are going to help the oppressed go free. If you go, please, to Acts, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. We need to lighten the load of the people who are deceived, the oppressed, the distressed, those people that are scattered and harassed and helpless. That's what God wanted for all the centuries. For all the centuries, what God has done was to help people, was to love people. Remember the football verse? He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's our God. Jesus was like that. And he's enabled us to do the same. Look at Acts chapter 10. And look at verse 38, please. 10:38. 10:38. People in the world are oppressed of the devil. And look what it says here. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You know, one of the things Bob talked about was that marking out of someone by the manifestation. Well, it says here that God marked out Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing what? Judging everybody. It's not what it says. It says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That word oppressed, it means to exercise harsh control over someone. It's to use one's power against him. That's what the devil does. That's what the devil does. And that's why the world is the way it is. And that's why we need the manifestations of the Spirit. It's also why we need to have the kind of love and compassion that we see in Jesus Christ. And that word good, it says he went about doing good. It doesn't mean he was collecting money for a charity or anything like that. I mean, those things can be good. That's fine. But this good here, it says, to bestow benefits. The good that he was doing were things that benefited people, to bestow benefits. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He helped those that were oppressed, and he bestowed benefits. I should have told you to keep your finger in Isaiah. Sorry, we have to go back over there, okay? Sorry. Isaiah 58. Maybe we'll keep your hands warm in this cold room. Isaiah 58. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm all right. Isaiah 58. I'm from the South now, you know. My blood's already thin. Isaiah 58. Okay, look at this. We read verse 6. I want to read it again. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. And it says here in verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, you know, from your own family. Then when you're doing these things, I know we're talking to Israel here, but you'll see, we got a little commission to us that's sort of like this, all right? He says, then, when you've done these things, when you're dealing your bread to the hungry, when you're helping those people, he says, that shalt thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall bring up the rear. He'll gather you up. The glory of the Lord. See then, what will bless us, how God is able to take care of our every single need, is when we're out there helping people, when we're out there doing stuff. You know, honestly, what does God have to do if we're not out there doing anything? You know, what's he going to help? Verse 9. Then it says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall what? Answer. Wow. That would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, we've done this. I know. Okay. But then shalt thou call, and what's going to happen? The Lord will answer. You know, I've talked to a couple of you the last couple of days, and something that you told me was you needed an answer from God. Well, he does answer, doesn't he? And why wouldn't he answer us if our heart is to do the things that God wants us to do? If our heart's to do the things that he does? It's a good key for us. If we really want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, our heart should be to help people. And then verse 9, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am, here I am. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago, and they said they've never heard from God. They prayed and prayed and prayed, and they'd never heard from God. And I thought that's so sad, They may not have recognized that God was talking to them, I guess, or they maybe didn't realize that maybe he sent me to speak his word to them. But we can pray to God and he'll help us. And boy, why wouldn't he help us if we're doing the things he wants? If we're doing things to help people? If we're just trying to impress him, what in the world does he have to do for us? Okay, this is kind of a weird example, all right? But it's me we're dealing with here, all right? I think of this like my GPS in my car, you know? First of all, the damn thing never listens to me. But anyway, that's another thing. But God has nothing to do unless we're going somewhere. So just like your GPS, if it's working right, if you're standing at a stoplight, it's really not going to tell you anything. But then when you start moving again, it goes, in 300 feet, turn left, you know? And then you know, you do that, and then it tells you the next thing. Well, if we're not doing anything, what's God got to work with? But if we're out there doing things for him, what can stop him from helping us? Why would he not speak to us and say, here I am, what can I do for you? And then we'll be like that watered garden. All our needs will be met. We focus on the thing that God wants us to do. We manifest God's Holy Spirit and bring deliverance, help the oppressed to go free. And what wouldn't God do for us? Back to verse 9 there, please. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, you know, the pointing of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity. In the darkness you'll have light. Sounds like that psalm that's so beautiful. And thy darkness be as the noonday. God will lighten your life. God will lighten your path. When? When we do these things. Why wouldn't he? He wants his word to move more than we do. You know, we talk about word over the world. And, you know, we do our little thing to move the word over the world. And God is very, very blessed that we do that. But we're not working as hard as God is. He's the one that really wants the word to move over the world. And I'm thankful that we can help him a little bit to do that. And isn't he then going to direct us? Isn't he going to guide us? Isn't he going to give us light? It says in verse 11 then, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat, strong, vigorous thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. He'll talk to you. He'll meet your needs. You know, when I think of the records of deliverance, we're going to look at a couple, especially in the Gospels. There's a few things that are pretty obvious in those. One, when we see, especially with Jesus Christ, that he has compassion. He has compassion. The second thing that is pretty obvious is the manifestation of the Spirit. He manifests Holy Spirit. And then the third thing is believing, that there's believing. There's believing. He believes for God's power to go into manifestation, and somebody believes to receive. And then, as Bob mentioned, so very oftentimes, the word of God can be spoken more. People can get more of God's word. And it's just a beautiful thing to see of these records of deliverance. Let's go to Philippians, please. We don't have to come back to Isaiah, I think. Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 1. Jesse read this verse. It really blessed me. And he talked about this one word that we're going to look at here. I kind of feel that the heart of compassion is sort of summed up in this verse in Philippians. It's chapter 1 and it's verse 8. The word compassion isn't in the verse, but the root of the word for compassion is in the verse. Philippians 1 verse 8. For God is my record. This is Paul speaking by revelation to these believers. For God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. How greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It wasn't like a fleeting thought. He had this burning in his heart to see them. I bet some of you, like I did, had that feeling before we came here. You know, man, I just can't wait to see Taylor. I just can't wait to see Joe. I can't wait to see Claire, that kind of longing to be with someone. Well, it says he had that in his heart for these believers. And then it says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. By the way, this word yearning, it's sort of interesting. It's sometimes translated lust. It's so intense, it's sometimes translated lust. So much that somebody wants something. That's how Paul was with these believers. And then it says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And Jesse told us about that. That's that inner depth, just that absolute inner depth of compassion that Jesus Christ had. That's what he says here. That's the heart of the compassion. He so wanted to be with them, so wanted to be with them. It wasn't just, you know, a feeling of passing sympathy for people, kind of like you do in the shopping mall or something when somebody runs their cart into somebody's car and you go, ooh, you know. No, it's not that kind of thing. It was a yearning. It was a yearning in their heart, yearning in his heart to be with them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. It's not sympathy. It's not when somebody falls and you half laugh and you half feel, you know, oh, that's too bad. No, it's not like that. He really had a yearning in his heart for them. And in the bowels of Jesus Christ, that compassion. Matthew 9 is a record. There's a bunch of these. We're going to just look at a couple. But so many records in the Gospels of Jesus Christ and how it says he had compassion and then the manifestations went into operation and deliverance. Believing, manifestations, deliverance. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what? Compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I looked this up a few years ago, and it so blessed me. There's a couple of translations that are sort of neat. One of them says they were distressed and scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. And another one said they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. See, people don't know how to handle the oppression of the devil. And Jesus Christ looked at those people, and it says he had compassion on them. And that's sort of interesting. He didn't look at them and say, what the hell do they want? He didn't look at them and say, why don't they go home? Don't they have homes? He didn't look and say, I really wish I was home right now watching The Walking Dead. This wasn't what Jesus was all about. He didn't want to be somewhere else. He had compassion on them. He had compassion because these people were distressed and scattered. These people were harassed and helpless. And Jesus Christ saw that. Look at this one in Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. And what a wonderful example he is to us. Matthew 14. This one's interesting. A multitude of sick people, right? Matthew 14. And we're going to look at verse 14. This is fun going through these records. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And so he wrote an article in the Nazareth Times. Talking about the evils of, you know, society and the poor and stuff, thinking that's going to help people. That's not what he did. Benefits, remember? Something that would benefit. He did good, benefit. It says here, it wasn't that. It says he did something supernatural. He healed their sick. Now, you know, these weren't the beautiful people on Rodeo Drive, you know. Or Champs-Élysées. These are not those people. These are people that were in pain. They were bleeding. They were coughing. They were sneezing. They had things oozing out of them. You know, these are people with needs. They were bleeding. They were deformed, lame, blind. These are those kinds of people that Jesus was with. And what did he have on them? Disgust? Or, I'm glad I'm not like they are. No, it says he had compassion on them. Compassion on them. He didn't want to be anywhere else. He wanted to be there so that he could bring the benefit of God, so the manifestations could go into operation, and they did. It says he healed their sick. He was moved from the core to help them. That's that compassion from the bowels of Jesus Christ. How beautiful is that? You wonder why Jesus walked so powerfully with God? Well, look at the heart that he had. Why wouldn't God be with him every second? He was doing the things God wanted. Let's read this one. Matthew 15, we're right in the neighborhood. 15:32. This is a great record. He's with these people. He's been teaching them. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. What was the matter with these poor people? They were hungry. Look at God's compassion. Didn't say all of their legs were falling off. It says they were hungry, and Jesus had that kind of compassion on them. Do you think Jesus ate in those 3 days? I doubt it. But he was selfless. Compassion is selfless. He wasn't worried about himself. He was concerned about those people. And what happened? Fantastic miracle. You can read about it. We don't have time to look at it tonight. But my gosh, how beautiful. He saw those people, and it's just because they were hungry. He had that kind of compassion from the depth of his heart to help those hungry people. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, please. Here's another astounding record. And these are the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach that Bob just shared with us. What an example for us in our administration. We have no less power than the Lord Jesus Christ had. We have no less ability to have that depth of compassion. And God has no less power also to bring great deliverance to those that are oppressed of the devil. Wow, what a day and time in which we live. Mark 1, look at verse 40. Mark 1, verse 40. There came to him a leper. A leper came to him. And it says, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if you want, you can make me clean. That's what he said to Jesus. And Jesus, moved with compassion, did something ridiculous. He put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, it certainly takes compassion to touch a leper. Leprosy was incurable and highly contagious. So do you think Jesus was worrying about himself? I don't think he was there like, did I take my vitamin C this morning? I don't think he was thinking that when he put forth his hand. And here's a remarkable thing about this verse. It's this word touched. This word touched here. It's not touched like, you know, duck, duck, goose. You know, duck, 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 goose. You know, no, it wasn't that kind of touched. This word touched means, you can look this up, means to cling to adhere to fasten oneself onto. A highly contagious leper who had an incurable disease. You think Jesus was worried about whether he took his vitamin C? And you know, when we reach out with compassion, if our heart is on us, don't expect God to be guiding us too much. But if we're reaching out with that heart to bless others, my gosh, what we can't do with the power of God in manifestation. By the way, this is that verse that all the singles hate. 1 Corinthians 7:1, that word touch, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. It's that same word, touch, you know. It's not just tight, you know, that kind of thing. But do you see a pattern here? He has compassion. He sees the need. He has compassion. And what does he do? Goes into operation. Believing, manifestations of the Spirit, deliverance. It's a beautiful thing to see in the Word of God. Turn, please, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. You know, our job in the world is also not to judge. I don't know. Some people need to wake up and realize that in the world. But that's not our job. That judgment comes and that's God's job. But our job is just like Jesus Christ, it is to bring deliverance. It is to speak his word. It is to preach. It is to help people to lighten their burdens, to help them and to remove that oppression that they get from the devil. That's the job we have, and it's a good job. It's a God in which God wants to help us, that he's going to say, here I am, you know what? I can help you. 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good, you know, you got something. 3:17, 1 John, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, you see somebody have need and you walk the other way. What good does that do? God says, how's the love of God dwelling in you? God has nothing to do. There's no, in 300 feet, turn right. Because you're not moving. You're not doing anything. Acts chapter 4, please. You know, when we have compassion on others, we put ourselves in a position where we need God, where we need his help, where we are going to him and saying, please help me here. Not because I have a problem. I got lots of them, I'm sure. But that's not the thing here. It's to help somebody else. Why wouldn't God say, here I am? Why wouldn't he answer? Acts 4. Oh, gee, I'm not there. Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. 4:29. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. We just read this one. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And then look what it says in the next verse. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You know, they had just suffered persecution. Some things happened. They should have asked for a vacation. You know, and, you know, I'm due this. You know, I did my thing for the Lord. I gave me 11.5%, and I was out witnessing on Monday night because, you know, the Giants weren't playing. But that's not what it was here. They said here, give us what? More boldness. And then it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. How does God stretch forth his hand to heal? It takes you and me stretching forth our hands, that God's power can go into manifestation and people can get delivered. Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. You know, it's good to forget about ourselves once in a while. I love teaching. I love the manifestations, you know, like when we have manifestations in the fellowship, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And I love prayer. And one reason I love those three things is because I put myself in a position that I have to go to God. And so do you, you know? You put yourself in a position that you need God. You need God to help you. And when you do that, you're not focused on yourself. Somebody asked me today about, you know, if I was nervous. And honestly, you know, teaching. And no, I'm not nervous. If it were me that had to do all this stuff and impress you with my writing, we'd be in a lot of trouble. I would be very nervous. But I'm just sharing God's word with you. So it doesn't matter about me. This is God's word, right? When you're out there and helping somebody else, it's not about you. It's about God's words, God's power getting to that person. And you're the one that can make that connection. When we're out there walking among people and seeing and having compassion, and we go to God and say, God, we need help here, he's going to say, here I am. He's going to say, yes, I can help you. And we should expect none less than the Lord Jesus Christ did. We've got the same power, the same spirit. We've got the manifestations. Well, you know, as a battery is charged with electricity, we are charged with the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. And when we've got that love of God there, it energizes believing. Galatians 5. And look at this in verse 6. It says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith here is believing. Faith works by love, and that word works is a word that we could say energizes. A literal of this verse says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision can do anything. You know, it doesn't really matter. That little token thing that they did was pretty significant to the person having it done to them. But, you know, he says, that doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything to me, to God. The real strength is believing, energized by love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. You know, when I think of this, often when I think of compassion and the love of God being in manifestation, the record that comes to my mind is that one in John, I think it's chapter 11, where Lazarus dies, and it says that Lazarus was Jesus's friend. Jesus, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, Lazarus and his two sisters, they were friends. These people were Jesus's friends, and his friend died. But Jesus was out there doing the word of God. Jesus was out there healing people, ministering to people, teaching people, doing the things that God wanted him to do, and he wasn't there when Lazarus died. They all did the guilt trip on him and all that. And even his two friends, Jesus' friends, Mary and Martha, the other two, one of them died, the other two, they were kind of not all there. And Jesus Christ, it says in that record, that's the one place in the Bible where it says Jesus wept. He'd been so moved, and all of this going on, at the loss of his friend. And then, though, it says that he got up, and he spoke the word of God, and he prayed to God, and he said, I know you hear me always, God. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. That compassion, that love that Jesus Christ had, God came right there to help him. God came right there to help in that situation. The manifestations were in operation, and a dead man who'd been dead for days walked. You know, that's compassion. And when we see it, and when we have that opportunity to show compassion, think of how happy God is. Think of that we're doing something, not that's pleasing us necessarily, but something that's pleasing God. He's the one that wants that place in every community where people can come and get the word of God and have their needs met. And we're the ones that can make that happen. What a privilege. What a blessing. You go to Acts chapter 2 and you look at how these people operated after the day of Pentecost. Where was their heart? This was their heart. This was their heart. Peter could have been fishing, but he was there speaking the word of God to people, getting into trouble, but great deliverance. Well, you know, it's just so beautiful in God's word. These believers got together. Let's go back, please, to Acts chapter 2. These believers got together. These believers decided they were going to live this thing that they were hearing, and God did his thing. God will do his thing for us just as well. Let's give him something to have to do. That's up to us. He's ready. He's willing. It's up to us. Let's go through the red. Well, let's not go through the red light. Let's go, and then he can tell us, turn right in 300 feet, okay? In Acts chapter 2, it said in verse 42, we're going to read this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And it says that respect came on every soul. And then it says many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, there was believing there, wasn't there, as Bob shared with us. And it says, and they all believed that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And then in verse 47, it says, praising God, where was their heart? Praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want to see God adding to the church. I want to see a need for every one of you to be sitting up here in front of a lot of other people sharing God's word. God wants that. And this adding to the church, if we do these things, why wouldn't God do that? If we reach out with compassion, why wouldn't God be there saying, "Here I am"? And then he's going to satisfy every need we have before we even ask. Right? So, love you. God bless.